So friends, welcome to this second chapter on GST Acts, where we are going to cover special features of CGST, SGST and IGST Acts. Let's begin with introduction to GST per se, or maybe refreshing our earlier discussion. GST was introduced as one of India's most significant indirect tax reforms from 1st July 2017. It replaced numerous central and state indirect taxes, brought uniformity in indirect tax structure in this country. It has also simplified taxation procedures across the country and has strengthened the federal system of taxation. So when I say federal system of taxation, now what does it mean? It means the taxation system between the central government as well as the state governments put together, and that is what is the federal system of taxation. The legal framework for GST is implemented through three principal legislations. The first is CGST, that is Central Goods and Service Tax Act. Number two is State Goods and Service Tax Act, that is SGST. Third is Integrated Goods and Service Tax Act, that is IGST. Now, this is the legal foundation for GST levy and collection in this country. It ensures coordinated taxation across center and states. As far as the scope of CGST, SGST and IGST is concerned, remember, CGST is applicable on intra-state supply transactions. That means the transactions which are happening within the same state. It is levied and collected by the central government. SGST is levied simultaneously on same supply. So which means when there is a transaction which is happening within the same state, it is referred as intra-state supply. And in case of all such intra-state supplies, they will be levied, or they will be levy of CGST as well as the SGST, that is central tax as well as the state tax. The revenues are retained by the respective state governments. IGST is applicable in case of interstate supply of goods and services. So when there is a supply of goods or services between two states or unit territory, in such cases, IGST will be applicable. So this entire framework covers taxation on imports and exports also. So IGST is going to be applicable in case of the imports and the exports as well. So meaning thereby, for the purpose of IGST, imports and exports are treated as interstate supply. We have earlier spoken about composite supply in brief. Now, what is a composite supply? So, composite supply, as the name suggests, is a combination of two or more supplies together. Let's say, for example, you go on a holiday package, or you go on a holiday on a package tour. And that's where the service provider is not only going to take care of your hotel, he's also going to take care of your food, he's also going to take care of your travel. Now, this is an example of combination. This is an example of composite supply, where there are two or more supplies mixed at one place. Now, these are all naturally bundled in ordinary course of business. So, composite supply is an example of naturally bundled in ordinary course of business. So, when you go on a holiday, the travel, the hotel, the food, they are naturally bundled together. So, that's an example of composite supply. So these supplies are supplied co-jointly for single consideration. So you will pay a single amount to the travel agency or to the package provider agency. One supply out of all these supplies, in case of composite supply, one supply is identified as a principal supply. Remaining supplies are treated as ancillary supply. And the rate of tax which is applicable to the principal supply is applicable to the entire package. That means combining everything together. So that was about the composite supply. Then you also have mixed supply. So in case of composite supply, you have certain supplies which are naturally bundled together. In case of mixed supply, it's a combination of multiple goods or services, and all these multiple goods and services are supplied together for a single price, where each item is capable of independent supply. Supplies are not naturally bundled in nature. So in case of a travel package, where all travel and the food and the stay all are naturally bundled, in case of mixed supply, the supplies may not be naturally bundled together, or they may not be naturally bundled together, and therefore there may not be any principal supply which is separately identifiable. And in such a case, so in case of a mixed supply, the highest GST rate applicable on the total value will be applicable. So in case of composite supply, the applicable rate is going to be the rate which is applicable to the principal supply. And in case of mixed supply, the applicable rate is going to be the highest GST rate applicable on total value. Now, friends, let's look at some of the salient features of the CGST Act 2017. Now, the CGST Act provides for levy on intrastate supplies. Central government in this case is empowered to notify the rates that would be applicable on these intrastate supplies. Registration is required beyond a prescribed turnover threshold that we have discussed in our first session, and that is 20 lakhs normally, 10 lakhs in case of the special state, which is primarily the northeastern region states. Under the CGST Act 2017, composition scheme is available for small taxpayers that we have discussed in our first session as to what is the composition scheme and when it is applicable. Input tax credit admissible on business inputs. So whatever goods and the services which are supplied in the normal business course, the input tax credit is admissible. Monthly as well as annual return will need to be filed by the registered person. There are provisions for the refund in case of excess tax or ITC. So in case if a registered person has paid excess tax or he has got ITC available but he is not able to use it, then there is a provision of refund available under the CGST for such a registered person. Compliance rating system for the taxpayers. Interestingly, CGST Act 2017 also has a system of compliance rating. Now, what is compliance rating? Compliance rating is all the registered persons on the GSTN network, based on their compliances, they are rated by this system automatically, and how good or bad they are in complying with the provisions of the law, it is reflected on the GSTN portal for everyone to watch. As we discussed in the context of CGST, let us also look at the salient features of SGST, State Goods and Service Tax Act. So each state in this country enacted its own SGST Act 2017. So all the states that we have in this country, they all have their own SGST Act, which really speaking is identical in all respects, except for the technicalities. State SGST Acts largely mirror the Central GST Act provisions. as much as even the section numbers and the subsection numbers which are given in the State Goods and Service Tax Act are same as given in case of CGST, so as to maintain the uniformity. Even the rules and the notifications which are brought out under the CGST are also brought out under the SGST, so as to maintain the uniformity and the consistency. As much as terminology modified to reflect state authority, and this ensures uniform GST structure nationwide. This ensures uniform GST structure nationwide. SGST governs taxation of intra-state supplies, as we discussed earlier. Revenues are collected and retained by the respective states. States are empowered to notify SGST tax rates, ensures fiscal autonomy with the GST framework. So that means with the SGST Act being part of the entire GST framework in this country, it ensures that the states also have fiscal autonomy as far as the tax collection is concerned. The same CGST is adopted progressively by all states UTs. So all the states that we have in this country now have the same SGST Act implemented. It enabled synchronized GST rollout across India. So since the GST was rolled out on 1st July 2017, since all the states and the union territories had adopted the SGST Acts on their own, that facilitated the rolling out of the GST in the whole country at the same time. Composition levy under the GST. As we had briefly touched upon in the first session, under Section 10, there is a simplified taxation scheme available. And this simplified taxation scheme is primarily introduced to reduce the compliance burden of the small traders, small manufacturers, and the small service providers. It is applicable to small taxpayers within the turnover limit, which is 1.5 crore. Lower limit for a specified special category states is also there, which means the states belonging to the northeastern region of this country will have a lower limit of the general threshold for being part of the composition scheme. This option of the composition scheme lapses if the turnover exceeds the threshold limit. So in case if a business, small business taxpayer has registered for the composition scheme, and the moment his turnover crosses the limit of 1.5 CR, then the composition scheme will cease to be applicable in his case, and he will have to re-register himself as a regular person under the regular business under the provisions of the GST acts and rules. So what are the conditions and the tax treatment? Limited service supply permitted within the threshold in case of the composition schemes. There is a mandatory mention of composition status on the bills. So the business entity which has opted for the composition scheme, they will have to compulsorily mention on all the supply bills the status of they being the composition scheme beneficiary. They will need to file quarterly return and also pay tax at a concessional rate. They will pay tax at a concessional rate. Like in case of a trader, it is 1%. In case of restaurants, it is 6%. So they will pay that they will pay the tax at the concessional rate. And tax is payable on the total turnover value and not on the transaction to transaction basis. So the businesses which are registered for the composite scheme, they will not need to collect or pay tax on every transaction. They will need to do it on the entire turnover value of theirs. It is, of course, a simplified compliance procedure so as to ensure that the small traders or the manufacturers or the service providers do not have to bear the burden of complex compliance procedures which are applicable otherwise. In case of the composite schemes, there are certain restrictions and ineligibility, which means what they cannot do and which are the businesses which are not eligible for opting for the composition scheme. So anyone which is registered under the composition scheme, remember, they cannot do the interstate supply. It is not permitted. They can also not do import and exports. Again, it is restricted. It is also not applicable in case of certain notified manufacturers. So in case someone is into making of pan masala or into ice cream or into tobacco products, now these businesses are not eligible to opt for the composite scheme. So they cannot collect the GST from the customer. And since they cannot collect the GST from the customer, input tax credit is also not available to them because they have to pay tax based on their total turnover value, and therefore they do not have the facility of input tax credit being availed. E-commerce supply or supplies are not permitted by such entities, and likewise a casual and non-resident taxpayer is also excluded from opting for the composition scheme. Friends, let us talk about some of the exemption features relating to GST and the meaning and coverage. So, what is exemption? Exemption basically reduces or eliminates the tax liability completely. It applies or it is applicable through the legal or policy provisions as prescribed under the GST Acts and Rules. It includes threshold-based registration exemption that we have discussed earlier. It covers agriculturalists and specified suppliers, applies to nil-rated and exempt supplies, and it includes non-GST and non-taxable activities. As we have discussed the CGST, SGST, and IGST, let us now also understand the salient features of the UTGST Act. Now, the UTGST Act is Union Territory Goods and Service Tax. This bill was introduced in Parliament. It was presented on 27th March 2017. UGST Act provides levy in case of Union Territories. It forms part of overall GST legal framework together with the SGST Acts. It ensures taxation uniformity in the UT jurisdiction, that is Union Territory jurisdiction, and UTGST complements the CGST and the IGST provisions. So when will the UTGST be applicable? So it levies UTGST levied on intra UT supply of goods and services. Like SGST is applicable in case of intra-state supplies. UTGST is applicable in case of intra-UT supplies of goods and services. It is imposed by the central government, applicable in case of union territories without legislature. So that means union territories where there is no legislature, that means they do not have their own legislative assembly. In such cases, the UTGST will be applicable. It covers notified UT geographic jurisdictions, includes territorial waters within prescribed limits, and UTGST ensures GST coverage across the entire territory. UTS covered and legislative distinction. So UTGST is applicable, as I said earlier, where there is no local legislature exists. It is administered directly by the central government. Union territories with legislature follow the SGST model. So I'm sure a question may be coming in your mind as to what happens to the union territories where there is a legislature available. So union territories where the legislature is available, they would follow the SGST model. and union territories where the legislature is not available, they will need to follow the UTGST. Separate fiscal treatment based on governance structure. It ensures parity with the state taxation framework, and as we discussed in the context of the state service and goods and service tax act, UTGST maintains the federal taxation balance. That means the balance between the center and the states. So states are at the same, union territories are at the same pedestal in that sense as the states are. So there are certain provisions which have been adopted from the CGST Act, and these provisions are: number one, time and value of supply provisions applicable. So that means what is the time at which the supply is, what is the time of supply and what is the value of supply. So those provisions as applicable in case of CGST are also applicable in case of UTGST. Likewise, registration and return procedures are also aligned in UTGST as applicable to CGST. Composition levy provision scheme is applicable and available under the UTGST. How the payment is to be done, assessments are to be done, refunds are to be paid, those rules are also adopted from the CGST to UTGST. Inspection, search and seizure provisions are also included as part of UTGST, and how the appeals and the advance ruling framework be done are adopted from the CGST in case of UGST. Let's discuss about the administration and the enforcement. So remember, the entire GST framework and the implementation of GST, or whether it is the IGST or SGST or UTGST, all of them or their implementation are assisted by the multi-department enforcement agencies in this country. So the entire framework, entire infrastructure, entire organization is supported by the police and the revenue authorities, customs and railway officers, and land revenue officers. Land revenue officers also provide the enforcement support to the entire infrastructure and the framework of GST in this country. Central government is empowered to notify the rates and ensures the administrative coordination, and that's the responsibility that lies with the central government through the GSTN and GST Council. Let's now discuss some of the features of IGST, that is Integrated Goods and Service Tax. So IGST bill was introduced like other cases on 27th March 2017. It provides for levy on the interstate supplies. The UTGST and the SGST would provide for levy in case of the interstate or inter-unit territory supplies. The IGST provides for levy of tax in case of interstate or interstate and union territory supplies. IGST replaced the earlier central sales tax system, which had a lot of drawbacks, including duplicity of the tax, as well as the cascading effect of the taxation. And that has the central sales tax system has earlier central sales tax system is now replaced by the IGST Act. It is applicable on goods and services movement. It covers imports and exports transaction as well, and it ensures seamless interstate taxation. So how is the levy and the revenue apportionment is done? So I am sure, friends, you would have understood that in case of IGST is applicable in case of the interstate or the inter-union territories transactions, or also in case of the imports and the exports, and which would mean that whenever there is a interstate transaction or import transaction or export transaction or interstate union territory transaction, in such cases CGST will not be charged, SGST will not be charged, only IGST will be charged at the applicable rate. And which means that this IGST, which has been collected by the central government, will need to be apportioned between the central government and the state government. It also includes the SEZ related supplies. So that means the IGST is applicable not only in case of the interstate, inter-union territories, import transactions, export transaction, but it is also applicable in case of the SEZ related supplies. So whenever there is a supply from the domestic tariff area to the SEZ and vice versa, such transactions will also be forming part of the, they will be considered as interstate transactions, and the IGST will be applicable in such cases as well. So the revenues are shared between the center and the consuming state. Apportionment is done based on destination principle, and this ensures that there is a fair distribution of tax revenues. Now, let's understand, friends, the input tax credit and settlement mechanism. Now, please remember, as far as the GST is concerned, in my view, input tax credit mechanism is in the base of the GST. Now, what is this input tax credit mechanism? Let us understand. So, X is a supplier and Y is a customer. So, what when the X will supply the goods to Y, X will, together with the amount of the goods being supplied, will also collect GST from Y at the applicable rate. Now, Y will make payment to X not only of the basic amount of for the goods, but also the amount of GST levy included in the invoice. Now, X will do what? Now, X has collected the GST from Y. Now, what X will do with this GST that he has collected from Y? Will he pay the entire amount to the government that he has collected, entire amount of GST that he has collected from Y to the government? No. When X must have produced these goods, he must have purchased goods from his own suppliers. And likewise, his own suppliers would also have charged him certain amount of GST as per the applicable rate. So, X has already paid some GST when he bought goods from his suppliers. So, now when X is collecting GST from Y, what X will do? From the amount of GST that he is collecting from Y, he will deduct the amount of GST that he has paid to his supplier. And this is known as input tax credit availment. This is known as input tax credit availment. So let's say, for example, X has collected 200 rupees by way of GST from Y. Now, 200 rupees are there in his hand. X has paid to his supplier, let's say 100 rupees of GST. So now what X will do, from this 200 rupees, X will retain 100 rupees with him as a set off or the input tax credit and pay the balance 100 rupees to the government. Now, this is, friends, is your input tax credit mechanism and settlement mechanism. Now, this is the fundamental and the basic to the entire GST in framework and the GST system. So, ITC is available across state boundaries, of course. Credit flow maintained through the IGST system. Exporting states transfer the SGST credit. Importing state receives the settlement share. Central agency acts as a clearinghouse and they ensure uninterrupted credit chain. So, this transaction that I have just spoken with you about between the X, Y and X's supplier. Now, this is how the whole transaction and the mechanism of input tax credit settlement works. Meaning and key definitions under the GST, I think that is what we should also be aware. So, what is supply? Taxable event is defined as supply. So, what is supply? What's the meaning of supply is the taxable event. So, when there is a supply, it is a taxable event. That means now taxes to be levied. Supply must involve goods or service. consideration element generally required. So generally it is necessary that when there is a supply of goods or services, there must be a consideration, but there are exceptions when even if there are no consideration, the supply is deemed to be there. This supply must be in the course of business, must occur within the taxable territory and made by the taxable person to attract GST, to attract the GST. So, tax invoice is mandatory document for supply evidence. So, unless and until there is a tax invoice, the tax invoice is a mandatory requirement, mandatory document for the supply advance. If there is no tax invoice, then it is difficult to establish that there is a supply. So there has to be a tax invoice. And when I say tax invoice, what does it mean? It means the supplier has to raise an invoice, which is referred as tax invoice. And this invoice has to include the informations which are required as per the Income Tax Act and the rules. And besides, which includes, among other things, that the tax invoice should also have the tax registration number, GSTN registration number of the supplier as well as the customer. This tax invoice is mandatory and it is required for claiming the input tax credit. If it is not there, then input tax credit cannot be availed. Aggregate turnover includes taxable, exempt and export supplies. So you would remember we talked in the context of the composite list scheme where the threshold is 1.5 CR as far as the turnover is concerned. So what this turnover will include? This turnover will include the taxable, exempt as well as the export supplies. So even if the goods are exempt, still they would be part of the turnover, total turnover, for the purpose of determining the threshold limit for the composite scheme. And of course, it is calculated on Pan India basis for registration limit. That means in case if a business entity has got the operations all over the country, in that case, the total turnover will be determined on Pan India basis. That means all the entities, all these the units that the entity has all over the country, total of all of them put together will be considered. Tax invoice, so there is a system of electronic cash ledger which records tax deposits made. So this is all done electronically. So there is an electronic cash ledger which records the tax deposits. So whatever tax are deposited by the different participants, that goes to the electronic cash ledger. This balance in the electronic cash ledger of a registered person is used for the payment of tax, interest and the penalty liabilities. Electronic credit ledger reflects the available ITC. So you have an electronic cash ledger and you also have electronic credit ledger. So the amount in the electronic credit ledger will reflect as to how much is the amount of ITC available for this person registered under the GST that he can take benefit of. Meaning of suppliers and supply. Supply. So how do we understand who is a supplier and what is a supply? So supplier is defined as a person who is supplying the goods, services or both. So anyone who is supplying the goods or services, he is defined as supplier under the GST law framework. It includes agents acting on behalf of principal supplier. So it's not only the principal supplier is included. Even the principal supplier's agents are also defined as are included in the definition of supplier. Supply regarded as the taxable event under the GST law. So as we discussed earlier, supply, what is the meaning of supply? So when there is a supply, there's a taxable event. It forms the legal basis for levy and collection of tax. So supply is the legal basis for a levy and collection of tax. It covers commercial supplies of goods and services, essential starting point for GST applicability. So remember, supply is essential starting point for GST applicability. If there is no supply, there is no GST. There is no GST law applicable. So there has to be a supply either of the goods or of the services or of the both. And only then there is a applicability of GST. What are the forms, modes of supply? Now this is, friends, is very important that we all must understand that supply does not mean only sale of the goods. supply under the GST law has got multiple interpretation or multiple meaning or multiple definitions, multiple forms, multiple aspects, which we need to be aware of. So supply will include sale, transfer, barter, exchange, transactions as well. Supply will also cover license, rental, and the lease arrangements. Disposal of business assets is also treated as a supply. Transfer of usage rights without ownership is without ownership transfer also included in case of supply. So there, if there is a transfer of usage right without the ownership of transfer rights, that is also included as part of the supply. But leasing and renting supplies, leasing and renting supplies are classified as supply of services. So leasing and renting is not supply of goods. Leasing and renting is supply of services. And it applies to temporary as well as permanent transfers. So whether a transfer is temporary or transfer of supply is permanent, the supply is applicable in all such cases. So what are the conditions that got to be there for supply to be established? So number one, supply made has to be for a consideration, monetary or non-monetary. It should occur in the course or furtherance of the business. It must be undertaken by a taxable person. Supply should qualify as taxable under GST law. Transaction should occur within the taxable territory and not the outside of the taxable territory, which means within the state or within the union territories, for supply to be treated as the supply as per the GST laws. Personal or private transactions generally are excluded from the definition of supply. Can supply be without consideration? Generally speaking, supply has to be with consideration. The consideration can be monetary or it can be non-monetary. But there are certain situations when the supply can be without consideration, still it will be deemed as a supply. So, for example, permanent transfer of business assets is treated as a supply. Applicable where input tax credit was previously claimed. Supplies between related or distinct persons are also covered as deemed supply. Employee to employee gifts beyond limits taxable will be deemed supply. Principal and agent supply transactions are also deemed supply. Import of services from related entities are also covered as deemed supply. Scope of supply under the GST. So remember, as far as the scope of supply under the GST laws are concerned, it includes all forms of supply for consideration applicable to goods, service, and both. It covers supplies made in the business context, so in the context of the business or in the furtherance of the business. Import of services included within the scope. So when there are imports of services, that also will be part of the supply. Certain imports taxable even outside the business, and scope of supply, friends, is defined under Section 7 of CGST Act. So what are the types of supplies based on the location? Number one, intra-state supply occurring between same state or same union territory, that is one type of supply. In such case, tax is divided into CGST and SGST, and in case if this transaction is within a UTGST union territory, then the tax would be divided with the UTG union territory. Interstate supply between different states or union territories is also included, is a type of supply. Includes states to union territory transactions. Import and SEZD supplies are treated as interstate transactions. IGST is levied on all interstate supplies, And remember, as we discussed earlier, interstate supply would obviously mean the supplies between two different states, or state on one hand and the union territory on the other hand. Now, these will be all treated as interstate. So not only these all will be treated as interstate, but the transactions of import, transactions of export, and the transactions done by with domestic tariff area and the SEZ will also be treated as interstate supplies.